This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So we continue inshallah with our program Fiqh of Business Transaction, and tonight we will talk about, we will focus on the contract of sale, and we will try to understand the general, you know, formula of or philosophy of contract making, contracts in Islam. So basically, Islam considers the wealth or the mal of someone, the property of someone, as sacred as his life and his honor. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if someone comes to you to take your wealth, your money, you have the right to fight with him. If he kills you, then you are a shaheed. And if you killed him, then he will be in hellfire, because he is taking, coming to take your wealth without any right. And that's why Islam has made it unlawful and permissible, haram, to devour others' property by means of theft, stealing, or usurpation, which is called ghasb in the Arabic language, you know, or any other unlawful means of acquisition of wealth. What is the difference between theft and usurpation? Theft is a sariqa. When someone steals something, usually he does it secretly. He hides himself and he would steal the money of others. By usurpation, ghasb is the acquisition of others' property in public by means of force. You know, someone, he's like in a position of power, authority, he would come to someone and take his wealth and money. This is called ghasb. Tayyib. Or any other means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, like cheating, you know, or bribery, or rashwa, all these means are haram in Islam, beside the main prohibitions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, making interest-based transactions, al-mu'amalat al-ribawiyya, or al-gharar, any transaction that involves a high level of uncertainty, or jahala, or gambling, or dhulm, injustice, or selling, you know, forbidden items that are not supposed to be consumed by Muslims. طيب. But at the same time, when we talk about, you know, forbidden sales or ways, means of making business, then there is the alternative there. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes something haram, He always would provide, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would always provide the halal alternative. So how can we make business? Is through making valid contracts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed His servants to trade and make business through valid contracts. And that's why here comes the importance of knowing what is a valid contract. What are the conditions of contract, making a sale of a contract of sale or any other contract. But tonight we will focus on the contract of sale. And we will try to discuss the general principles of contracts and the essential elements. What are the essential elements of contracts? يعني ما هي أركان البيع في الإسلام? If these arkan are not there, if these essential elements are not there, then the contract is void, is not valid. And then we try to talk about the conditions of the subject matter, which is called in fiqh al-mabi' or al-thaman. المعقود عليه, in general, is called المعقود عليه, either المبيع, which is the subject matter, or الثمن, the price. And also we talk a little bit about the qualifications of the contracting parties, أهلية إجراء العقود المالية. What are the qualities of those who are eligible to make a business transaction? So basically, we will try to focus tonight on this subject. So contracts, basically or generally speaking, involve goods and products, Or the transaction of usufruct. Usufruct are called in Arabic al-manafi'. So when you lease or you rent a property, you don't own the property, but you own the usufruct of this property. So it could be usufruct of this property could be a subject matter in a transaction of, you know, lease, in a rental transaction. And also it involved the transfer of ownership between, you know, two parties, from one party to another. Wealth or mal in Islam . So the ulama, they said it's anything that is usable and has legal and material value. Legal value, يعني it is recognized. It has a value that is recognized in Sharia. For example, the sale of a dog. The Sharia does not recognize the sale of alcohol or dogs. So it doesn't have a legal value in Sharia. And it has to have a material value, something that you own it, you benefit from it. There are some transactions in modern age that have no material value. For example, that's why when we talk about insurance, most of the scholars said insurance is haram, because they're paying money, but what is the counter value? They said it's safety, but there is no certainty that you're going to use this safety. What kind of safety you are talking about? So that's why these, you know, most of the contracts of insurance are controversial, highly controversial in Islam. Most of the ulama, they said the modern commercial insurance is haram, and they have an alternative. We might talk about it, inshallah. What is Islamic insurance, which is called nowadays is takaful. We'll talk about it. It has some problems, and it is still in the early stages of development. But inshallah, if we have time in this program, we'll talk about these kind of issues. It also, al-mal, includes abstract and intangible assets. Can you give me an example of an intangible asset? Accounting is a profession. When you hire someone to do some accounting for you, actually there is a value. He's doing some work. He's making some efforts. And it has a value. No, stock, no, it's a share in a company. It's not, it's a tangible asset. Because you own a share in the company, so it is a tangible asset. Naam? Shohra. The trade name? Yes, that's right. This is one of the company name, or trade name. You know, these are intangible assets. And they have a financial value in Islam. And this is a copyright, for example. It's an intangible asset. And it is respected in Islamic Sharia, and it has a financial value. Patent, something that they call patent, when someone invents something in the society, then the government will give him a license to use this, you know, this power of owning this invention, and take and accept financial compensation for it for a certain period of time. In the Canadian law, in some cases, between 17 years to up to 40 years. But in Sharia, it doesn't have a limit. Even it is a right that can be inherited. You know, someone has authored a book and he's selling this book. He doesn't sell himself. There is a printing shop or a company that is, you know, selling his book on his behalf. So he has a right to, you know, he made an effort. He wrote this book. So he has a right to get a financial compensation for his efforts. And this right could be inherited by his inheritors, his family members, when he passes away. And that's why the Muslim Fiqh Council, 20 years ago, they made a statement, or they made a decision about these kind of intangible assets. And they said the trade names, I'm reading now their statement, their official statement, their decision. Trade names, company names, trademarks, writings and inventions, and all the copyright of their owners or authors, which in modern practice have acquired monetary value. And these rights are respected by Sharia and it is not permissible to transgress against them. Copyright of authors, inventors is protected in Islam. Now here when we talk about these things, we remember a practice, a common practice nowadays.
Piracy?
Nah?
Piracy?
Making copies of CDs, for example, and softwares. Is it permissible or not? Huh? So the ulama, they said, by default, it's haram. We are not allowed to do it. But if these CDs contain some knowledge, and the owner or the maker of these CDs, of these programs, did not say that it is forbidden for everyone to use them for public use or for private use, if he doesn't, the owner of this program does not give these details, and if it contains some knowledge and you could not acquire the original copy, you are allowed as a person, as an individual, to use them for private use. But not to make copies and sell them in the market, to make profit from them. But if he says, if the maker of these programs says that, in some of them they said before, when you play the CD, they will tell you, say, أُقْسِمُ بِاللَّهِ, I swear by the name of Allah. This is very common in Arabic CDs, in Arabic programs. I don't know if it is. Say, I swear by Allah that this copy is the original copy. I'm using the original copy. And here you have a problem. I mean, if you don't have an original copy, you don't know what you're going to do. It depends on your taqwa and consciousness. So the point is, if he says in detail that all public and private uses are forbidden, then you have to get his permission. If he makes a general statement, then you can use them for private use if there is no alternative. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Tayyib, let's talk a little bit about al-aqd. Al-aqd is an Arabic word for contract. So that these are the these are formal definitions. Like this is from Murshid al-Hayran, a book called Murshid al-Hayran, the combination of an offer emanating from one of the two contracting parties with the acceptance by the other in a manner that it affects the subject matter. What is the subject matter in the contract of sale? Is al-mabi', the commodity that you are selling. So there is an offer that is coming from the seller, an acceptance that is coming from the buyer, or an offer coming from the buyer, acceptance coming from the seller. And there should be a combination between the two of them in the same trading session, في مجلس العقد. Okay, and some of them have defined العقد as, or they said العقد takes place when two parties undertake obligation in respect of any matter. مثلا عقد النكاح, الزواج is a عقد, is a contract. Some ulama, they said it's a contract with love. So it is a contract. There are two parties, they come together and they make a sigha. There's a combination between an offer and acceptance. زَوَجْتُكَ ابْنَتِي قَبِلْتُ الزَّوَاجَ بِابْنَتِكَ. I've allowed you to get married with my daughter. I accepted to get married with your daughter. So there is a contract and there is a sigha. That's why, but in عقد البيع, in the sale, in the contract of sale, we don't have to have shuhud. It is recommended to have witnesses. Okay, it is recommended, especially if you are selling a house, for example, or you're selling a very expensive car, it is recommended. You don't have to have witnesses. But in the aqd of al-nikah, you have to have witnesses. So the offer is called in fiqh, in the books of fiqh, al-ijab, and acceptance is called al-qabool. These are the two terms of a sigha, or the form of the contract. And basically, based on the definitions, different definitions of the sale of contract, the contract of sale, sorry. A contract involves the existence of two parties, al-aqidan, we call them al-aqidan, and the issuance of an outward act indicating some internal willingness or consent. Even if you don't say it verbally,
There should be something that indicate that you are happy with the deal, that you want to be involved in this deal, you want to make this deal. So there is, should be something. It could be physical, gesture, bodily motion, anything that indicates your willingness to make this deal. And as I said, an offer, an ijab, and qabul, acceptance, and subject matter, and contractual, this in general, contractual obligations. When you sell something, you have the obligation to deliver what you have sold, and the buyer has the obligation to deliver the price. These are contractual obligations. If there is a rahn, there is a pledge, مثلا, it's a deferred sale or a credit sale, and the seller is asking for a rahn or a pledge, then it is your obligation or your responsibility to deliver a rahn, and it should be a non-perishable. Because if you you cannot give him a rahn something that is perishable, that would perish within 2 days or 3 days. Now, what are the essential element of a rahn, of al-aqd? This is the view, based on the view of majority of scholars. They said these are arkan al-bay'ah, three elements. If they are not there, or they are not, do not exist properly, then the sale is not valid. And the first one is the form as-sigha, which is composed or combined, composed of the offer and the acceptance. And the contracting parties have to have two parties. Can you sell to yourself? Yes, there are some modern actually transactions. And in a sukuk, like a big company would create a smaller company, sharikat wahmiya, and they sell to them their products, and then they buy them again from them. But they're actually selling to themselves and buying from themselves just for. To make their business transaction legally valid. Anyway, these are some issues that have arisen in the modern age within Islamic finance. So we have two contracting parties, and we have the subject matter, al-mabi'ah, or thaman, the price. Form of the contract, the ulama, they said, it has to be in a clear language. So if you speak Chinese and the other guy speaks English and you don't understand each other, there could be some problem. Huh? If you make a deal and then later on you discover that he has cheated you, so this condition has to be there. And the ulama, they said it has to be in clear language, and it has to be unconditional. When they say unconditional, free of conditions that might, render the contract invalid, or might challenge the conclusion of the contract, because you are allowed to add another contract, any condition that is halal, that is permissible. مثلاً a شرط. If you want to put a condition, I want to buy this car with you, I will take it, but I want, a period of time. An option to cancel. I want to have an option to cancel this transaction for a period of time, for 15 days. In another word, if I don't like this car, I have the right to return it within 15 days. So هذا يسمى خيار الشرط. خيار الشرط. It's an option, and it is halal. So when they say unconditional, they don't mean these shurut, these conditions that are permissible. They mean the conditions that may raise the level of uncertainty in the business transaction, or they might challenge the conclusion of the deal. This is what they mean. And then we'll talk about some of them. For example, the ulama in the classical sources of fiqh, they say bi'tuka hadha shay mathalan aw abi'uka hadha shay indama ya'ti zayd. When Zayd comes back from his trip, or when my father comes back from his trip. So these are shurut that are mentioned in the books of fiqh, and they said if these conditions are there, then the sale is not. وَيُسَمَّى الْبَيْعَ الْمُعَلَّقِ لَكِنْ فِي الصَّحِيحِ وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمْ. There is a second opinion, and I feel inclined towards the second opinion, that this sale, this condition is valid if it is time bound. Okay, if it is, مثلاً, you tell him, I will sell this car for you when my father comes back within a period of 15 days. No more than a period of 15 days. That means if his father is late, then he has to make a decision. You have to make a decision within 15 days. If there is a time limit, then these conditions are fine. And al-bay' al-mu'allaq becomes halal, becomes permissible. Okay? There are some other examples, another example that the ulama have mentioned in their books, al-bay'u ila maysara. Yani, I would like to buy this item from you. I don't have money. I'll pay you back whenever it's easy for me to pay you back, or when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for me to pay you back. لَمَّا يَسَهَلْ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَهَذِي مَوْجُودَ كَثِيرٌ. It's very common. لَمَّا يَسَهَلْ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I don't have money now, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants me some money, I will pay you back. It doesn't sound good, right? It doesn't sound correct. There is some gharar here. Because you don't know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you some money, right? But there are some ulama who said, actually, no, this is halal, because there is a hadith about it. Aisha radiallahu anha told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قالت إن فلانا قدم له بز من الشام. البز يعني garments, clothes. فلو بعث إليه أن يبيعك ثوبين إلى ميصرة فأرسل إليه فامتنع. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, so and so has received some garments or some clothes from the area of Sham, greater Syria at that time. It used to include Syria nowadays, Lebanon, Jordan and Palestine, all this area. So what if you send someone to him and ask him to sell to you two thobes, and you pay him back whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would make it easy for you to pay him back. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent someone to him, but the guy refused. Allahu a'lam if he's Muslim, if he's Yahudi, if he's munafiq. He could be a good Muslim, because Jabir radiallahu anhu, one time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him to sell his camel, and he refused in the first time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him for the second time, and then he accepted to sell his camel to him. But Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, one time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him to sell his camel to him, and then he said, it's yours. He said, no, I want to buy it from you. He said, then I will sell it to you. But Umar ibn Khattab right away, he said, it's yours, Ya Rasulullah. But he bought it for a reason. They were traveling together. And then this camel used to belong to Umar ibn Khattab. Who was riding that camel is his son, Abdullah ibn Umar. And this camel was very active. And he used to be ahead of the caravan. And Umar did not like it. He felt embarrassed, because the Rasulullah and the other Sahaba were in the group. And then Abdullah would go ahead, time to time, with his camel. So Umar would tell him, come back, go back. And then Rasulullah did not like this scene. So he told Umar, sell me your camel. He said, it's yours, O Rasulullah. He said, no, I want to buy it from you. He said, okay, I will sell it to you. Then he sold it and he gave it to Abdullah ibn Umar. And he told him, do with it whatever you want. So based on this hadith that was collected by Imam al-Hakim, al-Bayhaqi, and Hakim, he said it's sahih, ذهبي وافقه, hadith is sahih. And also they said this concept is reinforcing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat of riba. In the ayat of riba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِنْ كَانَ ذُو عُسْرَةٍ فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. If someone is facing some hardship, then let there be a delay until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for him to pay you back. So, you know, this hadith is actually confirming what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in those ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَنَظِرَةٌ إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. So it's okay to buy something إِلَى مَيْسَرَةٍ. Yeah, and it's okay. Don't feel unless you know that the person is not, you know, honest, then you shouldn't do it from day one. comes to you and says, okay, I would like to buy this item from you, and I'll pay you when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy for you. But you know that this man had stories in the community. And you know about his stories. Then it is your problem if you sell him, right? No, I want my money up front. طيب. The second condition, the ulama, they said, there has to be some conformity of, there has to be conformity of the offer with acceptance on the subject matter. So someone would say, I sold you my car for $2,000 or $4,000. And the other guy would say, I got married with your daughter. I'm talking about my car. I'm not interested in your car, I'm interested in your daughter. So there is no conformity on the subject matter. لا يوجد توافق حول المعقود عليه. لازم يكون في توافق بين الإجاب والقبول. And they said also, the offer and the acceptance should be in the same trading session. في مجلس العقد. In the same trading session, which means, now you give me an offer now, and then I will think about it, and then we leave, everyone leaves, after the salat, you leave to your house, I leave to my house, and then tomorrow, we meet again. Is the offer the same offer, is still valid or not? By default, is not valid. We have to make another offer. You cannot tell me, I cannot tell you that, oh, you made an offer yesterday, here is my acceptance, I'm buying your item now, or merchandise, or your car. No, this is not. By default, this offer would be cancelled if the trading session has terminated without the conclusion of the sale, without any agreement.
If the person said that they'll keep you on hold for them or whatnot, something like that, is that condition obligatory about them still, or is that it as well?
Yeah, if there is a promise, yes. There is a promise. You know, some ulama, they said, it's okay. Even if you give arbun, a down payment, it's okay, it's fine. Mm-hmm. If you conclude the agreement or the sale, then the arbun will be part of the price. And if you don't, then the arbun, the down payment, is the right of the seller. He can take it.
So if you tell him something like, okay, we'll talk about it tomorrow, and in that period someone comes and offers something better to you, because that contract hasn't been concluded, right? Is it possible for you to sell to the other person then or not? Because you're not promising, right? You're just like, we'll talk about it tomorrow, because you haven't finalized anything. Right?
Yeah, if you didn't give him any promise, you can sell it. Okay. Yeah, you can sell it. But the ulama, they said, it's not ethical to break your promise. There's a difference between what is ethical and what is legally, binding. When you make a deal, when you conclude the deal, then you are not allowed to break the deal. But when you promise someone to talk about it, it could be, Allahu A'lam, I'm not talking about Sharia here, ethically it could be ethically not acceptable. It's not nice. Because there is a controversy between the ulama. Are we legally accountable for promises, for breaking our promises or not? So the conclusion about this, controversy about breaking, giving and breaking promises, is that if the other person whom you have promised something, if he acts upon this promise, like you tell him, مثلاً, you have an ugly house, break this house, give you money, I'm wealthy, build another house. And the guy who goes and starts breaking his house. Or demolishing, I would say. He starts demolishing his house. Okay, or you need to get married, go and ask for the hand of so-and-so, make a deal with the father, okay, make a contract, I know you don't have money, I give you 5,000. And then you rely on my word. You go make a contract, عقد النكاح with a father. You're happy, mashallah, you have 5,000 in your pocket and you're going to start your family life. And then after 1 week, you come to me and you say, I'm sorry, I don't have this money. I was just joking. I was just, So here, legally, you have the right in Islam to sue this man. To go to the judge and complain, make a complaint about this man that he has promised, and I acted upon his promise. I don't know about the Canadian law, but this is the conclusion regarding the controversy about breaking promises. Otherwise, it becomes, you know, recommended to fulfill the promises. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Tayyib. So they said the offer and acceptance should be in the same trading session or majlis al-aqd. How about if you are making a sale on the phone? You don't see the person. You are not in the same trading session. You are not in the same majlis. Is it halal or not? Buying through internet. Where is the offer? Where is the acceptance? Where is the ijab and the qabool? Where is majlis al-aqd? Sending a fax to someone, sending an email, telling him that I'm buying or this is my offer. Are these forms of making contract, are they correct? Are they valid in Sharia? Al-wasail al-haditha, yes. Yes, so the ulama of the fiqh, of the Muslim Fiqh Council made actually a decision about all these modern means and ways of making contract. They said actually all of them are valid. Except they said in sarf and as-salam. What is a sarf? Is the exchange of money. Because a qabd is a must, is an obligation. Al-qabd, the possession. To take the, you know, exchanging money, to receive your money, and you give, you deliver the money that you are exchanging. But they said, some of them actually, they said, well, now, wait a minute. Nowadays, you can transfer your money on the spot to someone else who is in a different country, and he might receive it on the spot, like through Western Union. If you send money to someone else, they will tell you in Western Union he will receive it within 10 minutes or 15 minutes, right? They will tell you that. I have heard this before. So they said, if this is the case, then it is halal, it is permissible, and we have something called constructive possession, al-qabd al-hukmi. Al-qabd al-hukmi, when you don't get it in your hand, but it is, for example, it comes to your bank account. With one condition, that you have immediate access to your bank account. You have immediate access to this, you know, item of sale or whatever you have exchanged. We're talking about sarf here. Exchange of money. As-salam, it's another form of sale where you have to pay the price immediately on the spot. Usually it is discounted. And you deliver, the other party would deliver the merchandise. Usually it is food or vegetables. You deliver them, or grains, you deliver them after a certain period of time. After 6 months or 1 year. So you give the price up front, and you receive your bida'a, your merchandise, after an agreed upon period of time. It has to be agreed upon. And this bida'a has to be well described. So there will be no uncertainties. There will be no jahala. And then we eliminate the sources of what? Of dispute. So this is, I said, this is one of maqasid al-sharia in fiqh of business transaction, that we always try to eliminate sources of dispute. There will be no niza'. Can we leave the question till the end? There is a brother who requested actually from the last halaqa, he said if we leave the question till the end, it will be better. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Tayyib. The offer and the acceptance, the ulama, they said they can be conveyed in a number of ways. And there is no particular words. There are no particular words. There are no specific words. Yani there is no word like مثلاً أبيعك, I have sold to you this car for 4,000, and that the person has to wait a minute. I'll say my statement I have bought. You know, it's okay. It's fine. Any statement you make that indicate that you are buying from the other person is selling to you, should be fine in Sharia. And that's why the ulama, they talk about bay' al-mu'atat. What is bay' al-mu'atat? It is a sale conducted by means of physical delivery without any spoken form of contract. You don't say anything. You come, you go to the store, you pick up your food or milk or whatever drink, you go to the cashier, give her money, don't say a word, she doesn't say anything, she takes the money, take your drink, and you leave. Is it a valid sale or not? Based on the opinion of majority of scholars, yes, it is a valid sale, and it is called bay' al-mu'atat. In the Shafi'i madhab, they said no. But how is it possible to say this sale is not valid? But what they say, some of them, they said, this is our opinion, but we advise you to follow the opinion of the jumhur, the majority of scholars. So what's the point? Why you are like making this statement? It is not reasonable. I mean, it's impossible to make business without, it's very common. This is my point. It's very common. Everyone needs it. So you find something in the store and then you go and take it. You don't have to say anything. This is an indication that you want it. The fact that you picked it up from the shelf and you brought it in front of the cashier, it's an indication that you are buying this item. So this is called bay' al-mu'atat. طيب, let's talk about what invalidates the offer. So the ulama, they said, if the first party of the seller or the buyer withdraws his offer, then the offer is invalidated, is cancelled in the same trading session. If the one of the two parties passes away before the sale is concluded, then the offer is cancelled, and the inheritors or al-waratha, they don't have the right to come and say, our father was selling this car for you, was buying this car from you, and then he passed away, then we have the right to complete the transaction. No, it is cancelled. He passed away in the majlis of al-aqd, it is cancelled. Or they said he loses the capacity to make, to complete the business transaction. He loses the capacity. Could you give me an example? He became a crazy. He becomes a crazy or mentally sick in the same trading session. Now he's a different person. You cannot do the transaction with him. Or they said, determination of the contractual session without any agreement. Like we were talking with the brother, you leave, and that's it, without any promise, without anything. That's it, we didn't make any deal, alhamdulillah, next time. Or they said, destruction of the subject matter. You're talking about something, trying to negotiate a deal about a bag of a grain, for example. And suddenly you get a heavy rain. And the grain is destroyed. It's on the floor, you cannot sell it, you cannot buy it, you cannot use it. Okay? Then the offer is cancelled, and the buyer or the seller does not have to ask for a replacement or anything. Or they said at the end, lapse of the time fixed for acceptance. If there is a time fixed for acceptance, like the brother, he said, if he gives a promise till tomorrow, for example, 24 hours, and 24 hours has passed, then you have the right to sell it to someone else, and the first offer is cancelled. Wallahu ta'ala. So let's talk about the elements of the subject matter, al-mabi'. The ulama, they said, it is either a commodity, sila, or the performance of an act, like an accountant. You hire an accountant, you hire a lawyer, you hire someone who would give you a service. He's not selling you anything, but he's selling his services. Consultant, or a counselor. You're paying him. He's not selling anything to you beside his, counseling, his expertise. So you can hire him, and you can, pay money for this service. They said it should be existing, it should exist. It's not something that will happen in the future. With one exception, what is the exception? Bay' al-salam, future sales. Yeah, future sales, here this is a very vague translation of bay' al-salam. It's better to say bay' al-salam because there are different types of future sales in the market, in the stock market. So let's say bay' al-salam. Bay' al-salam. Pay the price and you expect the person to deliver this merchandise to you after 6 months. Or al-istisna, aqd al-istisna, manufacturing. You make an order. This is halal. It does not exist. pay him 2,000, and it doesn't have to be upfront like a salam. You can pay on installments, في بيع الاستثناء, الاستثناء, and the person or the owner of the factory will say, I'll make this, you know, this sofa for you, and it will be ready within 2 months or 3 months. So it does not exist, but the owner of the company, the owner of the business is promising you to provide this sofa with this description. It has the details and the terms of the sale have to be clear, and they have to be agreed upon. You have to talk about all the details. Okay? So these are exceptions for this, you know, for this condition here. It should be existing and it should have a value. We said a material value or a legal value. And it should be eligible for ownership. Someone comes and wants to sell you a public property. No, it's not his property. He doesn't own it. And you cannot own it too. You cannot own it. So it's not eligible for ownership. So you cannot. It cannot be the subject matter of a sale. It has to be owned by the seller. بَيْعُ مَا لَا يَمْلِكُ يعني لا يجوز لك أن تبيع ما لا تملك. You are not allowed to sell what you don't own. You are not allowed to do that. And we have something called short selling in the stock market nowadays. What is the idea? What is the basic idea of short sales in the stock market? Can you give me an idea, those who are involved in the stock market?
I think this stock has some kinds of ownership, the bank or financial institute. So they can sell to you, like you borrow from them.
You borrow the shares?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's,
for fees?
Short selling.
Yeah.
Then you say, I'm going to buy back to you later on.
Pay them back,
yeah,
and then give them back to them.
Yeah.
So let's example, مثلاً, the shares of a company are worth $20 in the market, or $25 or whatever. Then the guy would borrow them from this company and sell them for, let's say he borrowed 1,000 shares for $25. He would sell them on the spot, on the market price, with the market price on that day. He will make 25,000, right? 1,000 shares for $25. So what is his plan now? In his short selling, he's planning or he's hoping? He's hoping. Hoping that the prices will go down. So after 1 week, we'll have... There is an agreement, of course, that you have to give me my shares back within a month or 2 months. Then he has to wait. He's watching the market, watching, and his sugar level is going up and down. You know, and watching the market. He's going to the doctor at the same time. And then if the prices go down, like $20 or $15 for one share, then what will happen? Right away he will buy these shares, 1,000 shares. How much he bought them? 20,000, for example. How much he sold them? 25. What is the difference? 5,000 in his pocket minus his fees. The fees that he gave them to the previous owner. Let's say, the fees were 1,000. Then 5,000 minus 1,000, he made 4,000. Is it halal or haram? There is an agreement between all Muslim scholars that this is a forbidden transaction. It's haram. لأنك تبيع ما لا تملك. You're just borrowing. You don't own them. They are not in your name. You're just borrowing them. You're just making an agreement. You don't own these shares. Your name is not there in the company. You didn't buy this stock. Can we leave the answer? Oh, okay. Let me finish quickly and then... طيب. Eligible to be delivered. If you are not able to deliver something, can you sell it? But there are people who do make this contract. There are crazy people who make this contract. Someone who got his car stolen. His car was stolen. And he want to make a bargain with someone. His car is worth 1,000. He's not sure if he will get his car back or not. He will come to someone, another crazy person, and will tell him, I will sell my car for you that is stolen, and I don't know where it is now, for 5,000. Do you think the person will go into this, will make this deal? He might. Because he said if he finds his car, it's worth how much? 10,000. It's a good deal. It's an excellent deal. Of course, in the source, the Islamic, the classical sources of fiqh, they say camel. They talk about camels. Lost camels and lost, you know, animals. Nowadays, we talk about cars and bicycles and those things. So if it was stolen or lost, he might sell it with a discounted price. If it is not found, he got this money. He got this 5,000. He's the owner. He's the winner. If the car is found intact, as it is worth 10,000. So who is the winner now? The other party. هذا بيع غرر. And that's why it is haram. So if you are not able to deliver the item of sale or the subject matter, you cannot sell it. And ulama, they said it has to be specified. You have to, there are two cases, two options. Either the subject matter has to be in front of you, you inspect it, you see it, and you are happy with it, or it has to be described, well described to you. And it is possible, it is halal, if it is well described to you, then it's okay, you can make a sale with these conditions. It has to be specified, it has to be quantified. If you're buying rice or grain or anything, then you have to talk about quantity, how much you are buying or how much you are selling. Wallahu ta'ala alam. If you have some questions before we pray Salat al-Isha, inshallah. We'll talk about types of contract, inshallah, in the next halaqah. Okay.
So I heard about one person who had a business. He would sell some electronics or something, and he didn't have them with him. But when a customer came, they're like, want this electronic, like, okay, give me 3 weeks, and he'll order them from another country, and once he had them, he'll sell them. So is that halal or not?
If it is a salam, based on a salam, yani the price is fully paid, I know, but the only exception is a salam. If it is paid, and the product is well described, the buyer knows what he's buying, and there is a period of time that is agreed upon, then it could be halal in this case. If the shurut of a salam are there, otherwise it is not halal. Yeah, if he doesn't give him anything, or gives him only part of the price, down payment, مثلا, it's not halal with a salam. You cannot give a down payment with a salam, you have to pay full price. Yeah.
Jack is a middleman for a sale.
Pardon?
Jack is a middleman for a sale, for example, right? So I tell my cousin back home to give me some furniture for my house, and he goes and he buys that furniture. Can he do that? Like, you know how we're talking about, okay, it has to be owned by the seller. So that seller, he's going to be like, yeah, I want to get it from this place.
He's your agent.
Yeah, like, can you use intermediaries?
Yeah, you can, of course. You can assign an agent all the time. There is something called bay' al-fuduli. Bay' al-fuduli, al-fuduli in Arabic is the one who interferes with others' business. Yeah, he's your cousin or your friend, and you are traveling, and he left your car with him. And then someone comes to him and said, I'll give you 7,000 for this car. He said, wow, that's a great deal. Yeah, no, I have to sell it. I cannot wait until, you know, the customer will lose the customer. So he doesn't even make the call because he's confident that this is a wonderful deal, and his cousin or his friend will be very happy with the deal. And then he would sell it. And then you come back from your trip and say, no, I want my car. So what is the solution here? How can we solve it?
Buy the car again.
Yeah. The ulama, they said, bay' al-fuduli is not valid. Is valid if the previous owner, the original owner, pending on the approval of the owner. If the owner agrees, then it is a valid and it should be concluded. Valid sale, it should be concluded. If the owner does not agree, does not give his approval, then the sale should be cancelled, and you should get the car back. But you have the right to give a wakala to someone. Agency. It's a contract. It's another contract in Sharia. It's called contract of agency. You have a wakil, your cousin or your family member or a friend. You give him wakala, even to make a marriage contract. It is halal. Someone on your behalf would go to the father of that lady and make a marriage contract on behalf of you. So this is aqd wakala, and we'll talk about it inshallah in the future. If we have time, I'm making many promises. Allahu a'lam. Yani hopefully. make dua to me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give me the power to fulfill these promises within this we have 5 or 6 sessions left, Allahu alam.
My question is about the conditions in the contract. So you know how when you go buy a product, they tell you if you're, there's a return policy, 14 days, if you're not satisfied, you can bring it back. What is the ruling? If you go, you know you actually need this, but you need it for like 2 days. So you take it, and you're sure you're going to return it back. Not because you're unsatisfied, but just because you don't need it anymore. What would be the ruling?
That's a good question. Then you buy it with the intention of returning it. Zawaj biniyat al-talaq.
It happens a lot in university.
Yeah. Actually, this, inshallah, this will something that we research it, inshallah. I don't have an answer for that. Because, you know, this is khiyar shart. There is no disagreement that this is halal. If you have khiyar shart, you return it within 15 days. But now you are mentioning here a different element, is your intention. You know, you don't have the intention to make a permanent sale. You know what I mean? So here is something that we need to... you know, basically is, there are the ulama, the fiqh, there are two groups. There are ulama who look at the form of the contract. And there are ulama who looked at the maqasid, the substance of the contract. So the form, like a Shafi'i, in the Shafi'i school of thought, they always look at the form of the contract. So based on the form looks very, looks right. Everything is fine. Then based on this, they would say the sale is halal. Basically, and generally speaking, yeah? I'm not giving fatwas here. Just giving you information about different school of thought, different methods. There are another group of scholars. No, they look at the maqsad, the end result, or sometimes always the intention of the contracting parties. So Allahu A'lam, this is something that I just need to look at it, inshallah.
What if your business is, say, like service-based? You don't have an actual physical product. If it's a service-based, is there a difference between that as opposed to like a manufacturing-based where it's, you have a physical product?
What kind of service?
Anything. You say you're accounting, anything where you don't have an actual product.
Yeah.
You're just giving your service.
Okay.
Is there a difference between that and an actual, say, you sell rice or you sell milk? Is there a difference between...
But what kind of difference, Yani, you are concerned about?
About the contract, because you know how you're saying that they own it. In a service, you don't really own the product.
You own the skills. You have the power to deliver these services.
Right.
You know what I mean? And this is aqd ijara, it's not aqd bayah. There are differences between hiring, transaction, or lease, or renting, and between sale. So this is hiring. I'm hiring. When I hire you, I know that you're going to give me, I know what you're going to give me, what you're going to sell to me, your services. They don't exist, but you have the ability as a person to deliver those services. And it's not a sale. We're not talking about sale here. Ijara has different conditions and different rules, inshallah. And this is something really important nowadays, in the modern age, to distinguish, to know the conditions of ijara and the conditions of a sale. Because there are some Muslim, Islamic institutions who are selling houses and selling stuff in the market. They are combining between these kind of, you know, contracts. And most of the people don't know that these contracts have different conditions. So using the names, basically. And the names look very Islamic. Alhamdulillah, Ijara. I don't want to mention the names of some companies. And the guy doesn't know what Ijara means and what are the conditions of Ijara. You know, it is really important to, inshallah, we'll talk about ijara by itself as a contract. What are the rules of ijara? What are the rules of sale? There are differences. And when you combine between them, you might create some problems. You might create a mess. Or you might create injustice, dhulm. You know what I mean? So inshallah, this is something that we need to talk about it. But basically, this is not a sale. This is a hiring transaction, and it has some different rules. And it's fine to hire someone, you know, you don't see anything tangible in front of you, but you are sure that he is capable to deliver his services like an accountant or a lawyer or a counselor.
Yeah. You've mentioned that internet transactions are allowed, but most internet transactions have fine prints. So let's say I have a product on the internet that I want to sell, but do I have to have the fine prints on the front page, or do I do it like everyone else that says to see people, so put it on the third page and make it really fun? So is the responsibility on the seller or responsibility on the buyer?
Yeah, as a Muslim trader, you have to make your terms clear to the customers, as a Muslim trader, you know, to be in the safe side. Don't follow the ways that are used. No, because there we have many, you know, contracts that are nowadays we're dealing with them. Islamically, they're not acceptable, but the ulama, they said, we don't have a choice. Like, as in the first halaqah, I mentioned something called adhesion contracts, right? Uqud al-idhan. Where, as a buyer, you have no say in the contract. You have no choice. You don't have the power to negotiate any term of the contract. It's a form, standard form contracts. Al-Uqud al-Namatiyya, they are called in Arabic. You take it or leave it. Either you sign it, or by the phone, you ask for this service, and that's it. And they take your word in the phone, and they are... You subscribe to their, you know, to their services, and you have no choice. So the ulama, when they talk about the taradhi, mutual consent, they talk about something in the modern age, they call it meeting of minds. Meeting of minds, that everyone has the right for full information about the product. In the modern age, this is what they do. They tell you, they give you some information, and they put, you know, some information at the bottom of the page, which is fine print. You know, it's everyone knows about it, but it is now accepted. It became very common in our societies, and people are fine with it, and they are signing contracts with this form and shape. But Islamically, as a Muslim trader, you have to be clear with your customers. Wallahu ta'alam. I think we need to stop here because it's 8:05. Jazakumullahu khairan. Continue next halaqa, inshaAllah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.